done anywhere in the culture could be done on a GSV. They could make anything the culture was capable of making, contained all the knowledge the culture had ever accumulated, carried or could construct specialized equipment of every imaginable type for every conceivable eventuality, and continually manufactured smaller ships, general contact units, usually warcraft now. Their complements were measured in millions at least. They crewed their offspring ships out of the gradual increase in their own population. Self-contained, self-sufficient, productive, and, in peacetime at least, continually exchanging information, they were the culture's ambassadors, its most visible citizens, and its technological and intellectual big guns. There was no need to travel from the galactic backwards to some distant culture home planet to be amazed and impressed by the stunning scale and awesome power of the culture. A GSV could bring the whole lot right up to your front door. Hawser followed the brightly dressed crowd through the bustling reception area. There were a few people in uniform, but they weren't stopping anybody. Hawser felt in a daze, as though he was only a passenger in his own body, and the drunken puppeteer he had felt in the control of earlier was now sobered up a little and guiding him through the crowds of people toward the doors of another elevator. He tried to clear his head by shaking it, but it hurt when he did that. His hearing was coming back very slowly. He looked at his hands, then sloughed the imprinter skin from his palms, rubbing it on each of the lapels of the daysuit until it rolled off and fell to the floor of the corridor. When they got off the second elevator, they were in the starship. The people dispersed through broad, pastel-shaded corridors with high ceilings. Hawser looked one way, then another, as the elevator capsule swished back up toward the reception sphere. A small drone floated toward him. It was the size and shape of a standard suit backpack, and Hawser eyed it warily, uncertain whether it was a culture device or not. "Excuse me, are you all right?" the machine said. Its voice was robust, but not unfriendly. Hawser could just hear it.
I'm lost," Hawser said too loudly. Lost,
he repeated more quietly, so that he could hardly hear himself. He was aware that he was swaying a little as he stood there, and he could feel water trickling into his boots and dripping off the sodden cloak onto the soft, absorbent surface under his feet.
"Where do you want to go?"
the drone asked.
To a ship called..."
Hawser closed his eyes in weary desperation. He didn't dare give the real name.
"The Beggar's Bluff."
The drone was silent for a second, then said,
"I'm afraid there is no such craft aboard. Perhaps it is in the port area by itself, not on the ends."
"It's an old Hronish assault ship,"
Hawser said tiredly, looking for somewhere to sit down. He spotted some seats set into the wall a few meters away and made his way over there. The drone followed him, lowering itself as he sat so that it was still at his eye level.
"About 100 meters long,"
the changer went on, no longer caring if he was giving some sort of game away.
"It was being repaired by some port shipbuilders and had some damage to its warping units."
"Ah! I think I have the one you want. It's more or less straight down from here. I have no record of its name, but it sounds like the one you want. Can you manage to get there yourself, or shall I take you?"
"I don't know if I can manage," Hawser said truthfully.
"Wait a moment."
The drone stayed, floating silently in front of Hawser for a moment or two. Then it said,
"Follow me then. There is a travel tube just over here and down a deck."
The machine backed off and indicated the direction they should head in by extending a hazy field from its casing. Hawser got up and followed it. They went down a small open AG lift shaft, then crossed a large open area where some of the wheeled and skirted vehicles used on the orbital had been stored.
"Just a few examples," the drone explained, "for posterity. The ENDS already had a megaship aboard, stored in one of its two general bays, 13 kilometers below in the bottom of the craft."
Hawser didn't know whether to believe the drone or not. On the far side of the hangar, they came to another corridor, and there they entered a cylinder, about 3 meters in diameter and 6 long, which rolled its door closed, flicked to one side, and was instantly sucked into a dark tunnel. Soft lights lit the interior. The drone explained that the windows were blanked out because, unless you were used to it, a capsule's journey through a GSV could be unsettling, due both to its speed and to the suddenness of the changes of direction, which the eye saw but the body didn't feel. Hawser sat down heavily in one of the folding seats in the middle of the capsule, but only for a few seconds.
"Here we are, small bay 27492, in case you need it again, in a level S10, right? Goodbye."
The capsule door closed and the machine vanished. He had a brief impression of it flickering past him, but it happened so fast he could have been wrong. Anyway, his vision was still blurred. He looked to his right. Through the walls of the corridor, he looked into clear air. Kilometres of it. There was some sort of roof high above him, with just a suggestion of wispy clouds. A few tiny craft moved. Level with him, far enough away for the view to be both hazy and vast, were hangars. Level after level after level of them. Bays, docks, hangars, call them what you wanted. They filled Hawes's sight for square kilometres, making him dizzy with the sheer scale of it all. His brain did a sort of double take, and he blinked and shook himself. But the view did not go away. Craft moved. Lights went on or off. A layer of cloud far below made the view further down still more hazy, and something whizzed by the corridor Hawser stood in. A ship, fully 300 meters long. The ship passed along the level he was on, swooped, and far, far away did a left turn, banking gracefully in the air, to disappear into another bright and vast corridor, which seemed to pass by at right angles to the one Hawser stood staring at. In the other direction, the one that the ship had appeared from, was a wall, seemingly blank. Hawser looked closer and rubbed his eyes. He saw that the wall had an orderly speckle of lights in a grid across it. Thousands and thousands of windows and lights and balconies. Smaller craft flitted about its face, and the dots of travel tube capsules flashed across and up and down.